Okay. Well, welcome to Community Church. Welcome to Hannah's baptism. Hannah just made it. 2 minutes to half past, she comes in through the door. My job this morning is just to explain to you a little bit about what baptism is about, and particularly for those who might be new to this. There are plenty of people here who know full well what baptism is about, and I might miss out some of your favorite points, but you're just going to have to live with that, okay? This is really for the benefit of those for whom this is new. Practically, in a few minutes, Hannah is going to get into this pool, and me and Dale are going to immerse her completely under the water, which means we will get into the pool as well with her. We could do it with sticks from the side and just poke her under, but we like the personal touch. So you may be thinking it'll be interesting to see whether Hannah stays standing and me and Dale go under. But actually, it's a little bit more than that. So baptism actually is something very visual, and it describes something that's already taken place. It describes something that we can't see, and it's just a visual picture of something that we can't see. And actually, the same way as a ring on a finger is actually quite visual, and it describes something that you can't see, doesn't it? It describes a relationship. It describes love. It describes a history, a past, and a story. And it just something physical and visual that describes something that you can't actually see. And that's what baptism is, just at its simplest. So you need to know that Hannah has a past. But we'll not go there. She has a former life, and that's gone forever. And part of what we're showing this morning is that past life is gone. And it's not just that she's given up a few things. She's been changed, all right? And the past life is gone completely. There's a point, not so many years ago, about a year and a half ago, when she made a decision to allow Jesus into her life. And it wasn't just like, pop in, come and visit me sometime, or we'll get together on Sundays or whatever. It was actually come in and stay and do whatever you think is the best for me in my life. And I just want you to form a little mental picture, if you can. Visualize this. Imagine that your life has a door which can open and close. And imagine that the door has one of those keypad security locks on the outside where you have to put the right numbers in for the door to open, all right? On the inside, it's got just a little handle so you can open it from the inside. But that's your life. It's got a door on it with a keypad on. Now, there are two powerful personalities that want to come through that door and affect your life. And both of them have the passcode. Both of them know what the code is to operate that lock, and they can come in at will. And the first person is Jesus, and actually, he won't come in. He knows the code, and he won't come in because he wants you to let him in. So he's not about to just force his way in. He will wait until you ask him in. The other powerful personality has a different character altogether. We call it sin, and I don't mean sins, I don't mean individual things, it's something more collective than that. And it's summed up really as wrong thinking, wrong behavior, leading to a life that misses the mark of what God made you to be and had created you for and intended you for. And sin has the passcode. And the aim of sin actually is just to destroy your life, to make a mess of it. Just to clutter it up, just to foul things up, to ruin things, to spoil relationships, just to generally spoil anything it can in your life. The aim of Jesus is quite different. It is to restore, to heal, to mend, to set you on to... Actually, somebody once said that Jesus has cornered the market on fulfillment. All right? If you go away with that, that's good enough. His purpose is to heal, to bring back to life what was dead, to mend what was broken, and to enable you to be the person that actually he created you to be. But until we invite Jesus in, we just find that sin has the passcode to come in and out at will and create disturbance and misery. If we invite Jesus in, like Hannah did, and many others in this room, you find actually there's one thing he does straight away. Just as he comes in, he just kicks that keypad off the door. All right? So it's gone. He comes in, and from now on, actually, temptation and sin has no right of access into your life unless you choose to let it in. All right? It can't come and go. And so Jesus brings freedom and security, and he brings change. If you let him in, you are free to live right. You're free not to partner with sin. You're free to live the way that you actually you want to live in your heart. Because all of us in our hearts, we want to be right. And we know actually that we've just never managed it. But Jesus brings us that ability to do it because he has power. He brings freedom. He brings forgiveness. And this is so important. Because he gives you forgiveness for everything you've done in the past and actually for everything you will do. There is nothing standing between anybody in this room and him because he's done everything he needs to do to remove all of that out of the way is dealt with. All you have to do is make a decision to open the door and let him in. Okay? Nothing else. It's simple, really. And he has that power to forgive because he died and he rose again. And that resurrection is a historical incontrovertible fact, all right? Somebody once said it's the best attested fact in history, okay? He has that power because he died and rose again. He is who he says he is, all right? He is God. Invite him in, and he will deal with that rubbish. You know, we have a little, and loads of you have heard this before, but some of you might not. We have a little thing that we, a little illustration we give sometimes. So if you're sitting here this morning, and you're not a Christian, and that's fine. All of us have been in that place. And you've never actually asked Jesus to come into your life. And I ask you the question, if you've got a bag on your back, and it's full of all the wrong things you've done, how big would it be? And you might say it's very big. You might say it's not very big. Some people say to me, oh, it's empty because I do good things as well, which outweigh the bad things, which doesn't really work if you try that in court. You know, I've just murdered somebody, but I've done some good things. So that's in judges. That's fine. Off you go, you know. The truth is, actually, you're carrying stuff in the back, and Jesus comes to take that away. And it's like, you know that door that we're talking about? If you open that door, he wants to come in and take that stuff away. But he wants to do more than that. He wants to bring freedom. He wants to bring release. He wants to bring wholeness, and he wants to give you a better life than you've had so far. Actually, what he wants to do is clean you up. And it's like having a bath on the inside. And that's part of what this baptism is about. It's part of it is it looks like a big bath. Have you got soap? No? So it's signifying actually that Hannah has had a bath, but it's not a bath on the outside. I assume she has at some point, but a bath on the inside, and she's clean on the inside. And she will always be clean from now on. I've lost my place. Okay. The other thing it does, it deals once and for all with the part of you that was prone to give in to temptation, to do things wrong, that actually did stuff wrong without even realizing it was wrong. And quite happily sometimes. maybe at other times not so happily, but he deals with that part of you, and he does something quite severe. He puts that bit to death. Doesn't just sort of wrap it up and say, we'll put it in the corner and hope it goes away. He actually kills it stone dead. And so the other part of this significant thing that you see reminds us that the stuff in Hannah that wasn't good, that Jesus has put to death, and it's gone, it's dead. So this is a burial as well. So you've all turned up in your bright summery clothes for a funeral service. But it's a burial and it's a bath. And it's just a visual description of what's happened inside Hannah. There is one other thing, and I'm just about to finish, and then I think we're just going to get ready and do the baptism. Hannah is saying as well, I am coming into the family of God, all right? And I'm not saying that we're baptizing her into community church or the Anglican church or the Methodist church or any other particular church, but she is baptized into the church. And that means that from now on, forever, she is part of the family of God, whether at times she likes it or not. You know, I'm part of my family, and at times I've maybe not liked it, but I'm stuck with it. That's it. You can't get out of it. You're in. Okay? And I just want to say a couple of things about that family, the church, because you might just think it's not a very significant thing, it's not a very big thing, but I'm just going to give you a couple of figures. The church worldwide is growing at 100, this is a rate of 174,000 people every what? Month? Day? Every day, all right? So that's 174,000 people every day. I'm not talking about people who, I'm not saying born into a family who happen to be Christians. I'm saying people who make that decision to ask Jesus into their life. So Hannah has joining or become a part of something that is massive. And it is growing, and it is growing. So I just got my calculator out last night, 174,000 every day. That is 2 every second. All right? So that's 2. 2 more. 2 more. 2 more. By the time she's baptized, and we've done all this, there will be enough people who've become Christians, who've accepted Jesus, asked him into life, to actually form a new church. 3,500 new churches every day. You know, this is not a small, insignificant thing. And this just comes back to the power of God. So, final thing. And there was another girl who was going to be baptized today, but she couldn't make it because her sister was ill and she's not managed to get back up north. And she's called Rachel. And I'm just going to tell a little story of hers, which is actually to help you if you don't know Jesus and you're thinking about this step. She was brought up in a family that were believers, and there's a point where she talked to me and she said, I know all this stuff, and I believe it, but I don't feel that I've ever really kind of crossed a line. I'm not sure whether I have or I haven't. I've never actually just said to Jesus, you know, come on, come into my life, take everything. And what she did was she sat down and she wrote a letter to Jesus. She just got a bit of paper and she wrote out and she said, Jesus, this is who I am. These are my good points. These are the things that are good. These are the gifts that I have. This is what I'm good at. And these are the bad things. And these are the things I've done that I wish I'd never done. These are the things I need forgiving for. And this is the stuff that needs cleaning up. And I'm giving you my whole life. And I want you to have it all. And then she took a bit of paper and she set fire to it and burnt it. Because at that point, actually, she'd asked Jesus into her life. And the past that was written on that paper was gone. Forever, and she's free. Okay? If at some point as you're thinking about this and you go away from here today and you think, it's a step I need to take, that's a useful thing to do. You can do this anywhere. It's the easiest thing to do, to give your life to Jesus. If you want to do it this morning, if you want to come and talk to one of us, then that's fine. We'll happily talk with you. If you just want to explore it a bit and go away and think, that's fine. or if you've got questions, you want to ask questions and go away and think, that's fine. We're quite happy to chat with you. We've got some little books if anybody wants a book to read. They're free as well. But this is what this is about this morning, a radical change in life that's irreversible. The past is gone. The new has come. Okay?
Okay, just got a little video clip for you to watch this morning. God is the God of the broken. I want to talk just for a short while this morning about restoration. Felt God put this on my heart, and so I'm going to be as quick as I can, but I want to just look at this subject of restoration. When I was baptized lots and lots of years ago now, we had a thing in the church there. I wouldn't recommend it for your own use now, but it was something they did all those years ago, and some of you will be old enough to remember. They had a little promise box with a little set of tweezers, and you pulled out a little rolled up verse, and actually one of the things that they did before we got baptized in my church was they would get you to pick one of these promises and read it out, and it helped those who didn't want to share the testimony. I literally, when I got baptized, you did well, Hannah, because I literally just read the verse and ran off. But the verse that I got was Joel 2:25, and it was this, and I've remembered it all my life. So I will restore to you the years that the swarming locust has eaten, the crawling locust, the consuming locust, and the chewing locust. That was my little memory verse for my baptism, and I remember it to this day. And actually, I've seen God, he's reminded me of it so many times in my life, of that one promise. When things have seemed to be robbed, I've been reminded, God promised me he will restore to me what has been stolen. And the word restoration, for us, if you look at what restoration means, it talks about bringing something back to its former state. We've got Bethel here this morning. The name of their shop that they have is Restored. And a lot of them will spend a lot of time bringing furniture, and they have to take off sometimes layers of stuff where people have varnished or painted things where they weren't meant to, or strip it right back and try and take it back to what it was like as best they can originally. That's their aim in that restoration, and you can walk through their store and see how they've restored so much furniture. But restoration for God actually means bringing it back even better than it was before. God doesn't just restore as was. He restores, and somehow it's even better. But as we think about restoration, first of all, we need to know the areas that need restoration. We need to know we need restoration. And one of the areas that we need restoration is our relationship with God. Kevin, I thought he'd been reading my notes when he was doing his talk, because he touched on quite a few things that are in my notes here. So I'm not going to spend a great deal of time on this one, but we need our relationship with God restored. In Genesis chapters 1 to 3, we read about God created the heavens, the earth, and everything in it, and it was good. But then, through the sin and disobedience of Adam and Eve, sin entered the world, and that relationship was broken. That relationship with God was broken. Not just for them, but for all who would be descendants of them. Relationship with God was now no longer what it was meant to be. So for some, that relationship has never been restored, and that's what Kevin was talking about. We need to invite Jesus in to be part of our lives, and that will restore that relationship that we were meant to have with God. For some of us, because I want to move on quickly from that one, some of us, we've known that restoration. We've invited Jesus into our life, but somehow that relationship has drifted. We've drifted apart. Things get in. We used to be so in love with Jesus. Our greatest desire was to worship, spend time with him. We longed to know more about him. Church was a priority on Sundays. Midweek or prayer meetings were priorities. Quiet times were priorities. And somehow, other things get in. And so for some, it's not restoration the first time. It's actually going back and restoring again. But do you know what? The good news is God doesn't just do it once. He'll do it again and again. We tell ourselves, I'm not too bad. I'm still a Christian. I'm just not as involved as I used to be. It's not as important as it used to be. Well, I would say this. Remember what the Bible says about being lukewarm. Some very strong words in the Bible about being lukewarm. I wish that you were either hot or cold, the Bible says. But I can't stand lukewarm. That's the gist of what it says in the Bible. And actually, when we're in that state of, well, I'm a Christian, but I'm not really there, we're in that lukewarm state. We're not fully on for God. We're not walked away for God. We just think, actually, I'm all right. And Jesus says, that's not how I want it to be. God wants to restore your relationship with him. How? Through us, first of all, admitting it needs restoring. The psalmist says, Lord, be merciful to me. Heal my soul, for I've sinned against you. First thing we need to do is actually acknowledge we need restoration. God wants to restore our souls. Another area that I felt very strongly about this morning as I was preparing this was marriage. For some of us, we need to let God restore our marriage. As you know, I was away in France this week, most of you know, with taking school children away, and I always get little opportunities to witness or talk, and one of the subjects that came up was marriage. And somebody was talking to me about marriage, and in that, the attitude of the world today, well, you know, sometimes people just drift apart, don't they? They fall out of love, and it's just the way it is, isn't it? And they move on, and they marry somebody else. And I said, that's not God's way. That's not the way it's meant to be. We're not meant to be committed while we like it. Actually, God's intention was that we commit and we stay committed. And actually, that I could see that was quite a shock to the person I was talking to. For some of us, our marriage is not what it used to be. It's not what it should be. God wants to restore it, to restore the love that should be there. Ephesians 5 says this, however, let each one of you love his wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Now, wives might say, respect? I want to tell you this. Husbands, you love your wife like Christ loved the church. Do you know what? Your wife will have no problem respecting you. And that respect isn't just be under. It's about honoring. Actually, there's not enough of it nowadays. Too many times we hear husbands and wives in public places, saying things that put down their wives, put down their husbands. That's what the respect is talking about. It's not about do as you're told. It's about love and respect and honor. God wants to restore our marriages. We as the church should be demonstrating the right way in marriage, not following the culture of the world. And if you're thinking about marriage, think about entering it with that in mind. It's not something you can try out. And if it doesn't work, try somebody else. I'll leave that with you to think about. God wants to restore some family relationships. The stresses of this world and even church can rip apart relationships if we let them. I was brought up in a family that predominantly went to church. I say predominantly because we weren't fully there. But my brother's sister went to church. And for some of them, things in the church made them fall away. But about 27 years ago, my second eldest brother, I loved him dearly. He still do. I've always loved him dearly. But I had a relationship with him that was like my father. My father had been housebound for years, hadn't been able to be the father that he would love to be. He couldn't do the things with me that he would have loved to. And then died when I was in my early 20s. But my second eldest brother had been like a dad to me, not just a brother. We were very, very close, 10 years between us. And something happened. I won't go into details. Something happened, and it caused a rift between me and my brother. And for 27 years, having been in his house every day, used to call in on the way home from work pretty much every day, we broke apart. Our relationship was broken. And it hurt. And then now and again, we would, in the latter years, we'd see each other at the odd funeral or a wedding, and we would see each other, and we'd be nice, we'd be polite, but I knew there's something lost. And then this year, I tell you this story because I want you to see how God is faithful no matter how long it takes. This year, last year really, just before Christmas, my eldest brother died. And so, before he died, I got a phone call from this next brother down. Look, Wilf's ill. He's not going to come through this. You need to come across. And I spent a whole day in hospital alongside my brothers and sisters, but particularly alongside this brother. And he prayed with my brother as he was dying. And he said, he was almost gone, really, my brother, but he was saying to him, we talked the other day, didn't we, Wilf? And we talked about how I saw you at the pulpit every week, at the platform every week, seeking God. And he said, and because of that, I did that. You brought me to be a Christian. I tell you, my older brother, I never saw any of that in his life. I never witnessed that. And so that I said, I didn't know that. But I was able to say to my other brother, can I just tell you, that's what happened with me and you. I watched you. And he said, is that right? And our relationship began to be restored, and we did my brother's funeral together. And then at Christmas, he himself had a heart attack on Christmas Eve. And I've been able to text him, and God was so gracious, right at the time when I needed to have that relationship restored, so that I could be with him and visit him in hospital and when I was worried about him. God restored that relationship. God can restore relationships that have been broken for many years. So some of you need to hear that. Some of you have had family relationships that are not right, and it's been years. God wants to restore them. Actually, that is the enemy robbing us. And it needs to come to an end. Some of you, well, this is my last one. For some of you, it's about your health. You feel as though you've been robbed because health has dogged you. Some for maybe years, health has dogged you and you feel robbed. God wants to restore. God can restore. did a lesson with our year sixes the other week, all about God's miracles. Showed them a video of God's miracles, and they recounted what they'd seen in the video. God, our God is a great healer. Put your hand up this morning if you've known God touch you and heal you. God can and does and wants to heal. It says in the Bible, if anyone is sick, let them call the elders of the church to pray over them, anoint them with oil in the name of the Lord, and the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well. The Lord will raise them up. If they have sinned, they will be forgiven. There's a verse in Isaiah. It says, the Lord's hand is not so short that it cannot save, nor his ear so dull that he cannot hear. But our iniquities, our sins, things we've done wrong, have separated us from God. And our sins have hidden his face from us. And then in Joel it says, return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and he relents from doing harm. Because he'd had to take his beloved children of Israel through some tough things to get them to learn. And he didn't like that. He wanted to restore them. It's a great series a couple of years ago that Andy did on Joel. I could tell you all about that. God's heart is not for brokenness. God's heart is for wholeness. God's heart is for restoration. I never believe that when God gives me something to speak on, that it's just by chance. I always believe God's given me a word that's the right word for the right time. So you might think, I've just come here this morning to witness a baptism. I want to say, if you're sat here this morning, I believe God wants you to hear this word. There's something there that God's saying, I want to touch, I want to change, I want to transform. I want to ask you the question, though. Do you want him to? We heard Kevin say he's not going to force his way in. Jesus is the politest person you will ever know. He will not force his way in, but he wants to come in. He wants to come in and restore. Will we let him this morning? Will we receive him this morning? Does God need to restore relationship? And do you need to come and restore that relationship with God? Do you need God to restore your marriage? Do you need God to restore some family relationships? Do you need God to touch you for health? If any of those you respond to this morning, as I ask the worship band to come up and sing one more song, I'm going to ask you to be brave. Everybody stand, please. If any of those you respond to and you would like us to pray with you, we would love to pray with you this morning. If you don't know Jesus and you've heard something this morning that has touched you and you want to know Jesus in this way, I'm going to put some of these red books down here. When people are coming for prayer, you come and just pick up one of these. Some of our folk will know, will come and talk to you about how you can know Jesus, how he can change your life, how he can touch these situations in your life, and we'll help you to do that. But whatever God is putting on your heart this morning, do you know what? I just throw out one thing as well. Maybe this morning, as you've witnessed Hannah being baptized, following the way Jesus was baptized as an adult, as a believer, somebody who's made their own decision. Maybe this morning God said to you, you need to do that. Well, as it happens, we're doing it again next week. If you want to be baptized this morning, come and talk to us, and we can arrange for that as well. That's the way you go as a Christian. You be baptized. Repent. Say sorry for your sins. Be baptized. Be added to the church family. That's the plan. If you're only on part of that, maybe you want to put that right this morning. But whatever it is, come and do business with God. Let's sing one more song. And if you've got business to do with God, come forward this morning.